Hey, how's it going out there? Welcome back. I thought that was going to be a perfect ending. How's it going, Carolyn? How you doing?
I'm doing excellent.
Hey, everyone at home. Welcome back. It's another, I guess it's Tuesday. It's whatever day you guys choose to listen to it, but my name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
You're in fact listening to one and only Carolyn and Joe show. Carolyn, who's in the studio today?
Oh my gosh, we have two very special guests who have been a fixture on the Carolyn and Joe show in the past, and they are now here together, united. We have Danny and Huzzard in the studio today.
Huzzard's a surprise, but I guess whenever, you know, whenever it happens, it happens. How are you guys doing?
I just forget the formalities. What in the hell makes the G.I. Joe movie opening like the perfect intro today?
It's the best, man. I was humming that thing all weekend. That opening riff, that bomb, 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 bomb. That thing echoes just as good as the, what's it called? From Star Wars.
It's all about the bad guys who yell Cobra la 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 la. Yeah, and they're like singing essentially.
That's what it's all
the
about.
The battle cry.
Dude. I love that show. How much? It's like, I don't know. When I first saw G.I. Joe, the movie, it made absolutely no sense to me that like all of a sudden we take like this hardcore sci-fi turn. You know what I mean? Because now you have like what Cobra Commander was? Is that where, when he got introed? Not Cobra Commander. What was it? Serpentor.
Serpentor. They essentially undermined the entire series by having like, you know, the whole TV series was Cobra being the ultimate bad guys, and then in one fell swoop, like a faction stronger than Cobra comes and just destroys Cobra, and then like annihilates the Joes. So it's just like, wow, they just undermined everything.
Because I was listening to a lot of people talk before, and there's always this talk about like shows, cartoons were better back then. You know what I mean? And it's almost hard for me to believe because there's always that saying like, oh, TV was better back then, or shows and cartoons are better back then.
Do you think it's just a nostalgia thing?
No, I think what it is...
Oh, wait, hold that thought. Hold that thought, because the news music is on, and it always means it's time for Carolyn's news.
It's time for the news. Okay, everyone, March 1st is a very important date, because that is when your comics are due for Magic Bullet, and also your ad submissions. So Google Magic Bullet Comics, and you will find everything you need to know to get your one-page comic in the newspaper. And also for advertising. We have some amazing advertisers in this issue. I cannot believe my eyes. I've been working really hard to get some advertisers for it, and one day I will announce them all on the show, but I want to wait until closing time of March 1st until we announce them. But yeah, March 1st is the date. And then also, on March 30th, Joe and I will be at Asbury Park Comic Con. Asbury Park Comic Con. We will be there on the Jersey Shore with Snooki. Well, I can't guarantee that she'll be there, but it's the land of Snooki.
It'll be her and her baby.
Yeah, her and her baby and JWoww and all those guys. Like, they'll be hanging out. Anyway, also, there's amazing guests. Like, people that have worked for Mad Magazine. The guy who does, like, the Mad Magazine fold-in at the end.
Yeah.
He will be there. And people that have worked on those, like, crazy trading cards with, like, the weird gross stuff. I forget what they're called, though.
Garbage Pail Kids.
Maybe Garbage Pail Kids. That's probably it. And there's also another one that I can't remember. But those type of illustrators will be there, which are monumental and influential for many artists. But, yeah, Mad Magazine artists, how can you beat that? They're going to be there. And also people from Clerks are going to be there.
That's like right. That What's his name? Guy. Brian Hildebrand, the dude that said, I'm not even supposed to be here today.
Yeah, he will be there. And the people that are work with Kevin Smith on Kevin Smith's podcast, it's pretty and much Comic a, Book Men on AMC, they're going to be there.
I feel like Asbury Park is pretty much going to become like the Kevin Smith convention pretty soon. Like pretty much like everyone
it's
in
gonna
the
be
cast
the movies
is going to show
convention.
Up. Yeah.
But yeah, so we'll be there March 30th.
That'd be awesome.
And we have a whole bunch. What were you saying, Danny?
I was going to say it would be awesome if like there were super hardcore fans who took it too seriously and then like Dante like goes back to his car and there's gum lodged in his locks or something.
Yeah, that might happen. Good idea for people that are planning to come to Asbury Park Comic Con. And on April 20th and 21st, there's a convention called Awesome Con. Awesome Con! In Washington, D.C. at the Convention Center. It's major because there has not been a comic convention in D.C. in forever. If anything, it's the first that I've ever heard of. So definitely join us for that. And they've announced special guests. Like Phil Lamar.
Phil Lamar, Phil, yeah.
Can you give me one of those crazy things for saying...
All right, here we go. Ready?
Phil Lamar! You might remember him from being the UPS guy on Mad TV. Speaking of Mad again, Mad connects everyone. But yes, he was also Cowboy Curtis in the stage show of Pee Wee Herman. So I'm excited, you know?
I'm excited
about all these goings on, and there's going to be more special guests announced. But I, like, totally did this new segment from the top of my head. I have no notes. But those are the major things that are coming up soon.
It's all good. We're getting a good practice at those certain dates. You know what I mean?
It helps when you have like something in front of your face that you can remember Garbage Pail Kids and stuff like that. But instead, I'm just like those cards that are nasty things on them.
But definitely, everyone go rewind this too and listen to all the dates and the numbers and go to all those events and pay attention to it. Now back to what we were doing before.
Huzzard was saying something.
What were you
nostalgia.
Saying?
Yes, well,
nostalgia.
Let's just think about how TV works right now. Because cartoons used to actually be on TV.
They still are on TV.
Not really, but like not in.
They're
so
on
you're
TV.
Saying you're saying they're not on Cartoon Network or the Hub?
Like they are, but like there was like Saturday morning was there was Saturday morning cartoons.
You still got that on Cartoon Network.
Yeah, but it's
and the
on
Hub.
One channel.
There's two channels I just listed.
Yeah, but it used to be on
and
network
and Disney.
There were network television.
What does network TV have on in the morning of Saturday?
News.
That's it?
Yeah, it's
something like that.
They've destroyed.
That's such crap.
Yeah, the concept of Saturday morning cartoons is pretty much
dead. Do they
dead.
Still have It's Academic?
I don't think so.
No, they don't. They're just news. And then infomercials.
Wow. We've fallen a little bit on that
So,
end.
I mean, but there are still good cartoons on. Like, I've enjoyed some of them, like Archer, but there's
it's
nothing.
It's Adult Swim, right?
No, that's on
FX.
FX.
Oh.
But there's nothing really to the standard of, you know, like Batman the Animated Series.
There's no.
Why is there silence?
Yeah, no, there's
it's
no,
like an RIP
no
one's, for
no
Batman
one's,
the anime
There's no weekly
series.
Episodic like TV series. It's not like Garfield and Friends.
Chip and Dale,
oh
Dale
my gosh.
Rescue Rangers.
Yeah, and then the X-Men cartoon.
I have Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers on DVD. And I also have Garfield, some of it. But do they have Garfield on DVD as a box set? Garfield
Doubt
and
it.
Friends?
I think Disney owns the rights to.
What? Do you know what I loved? U.S. Acres 2.
I didn't really like that.
I like Sheldon.
I never really liked it.
It was a good breakup between like all this constant Garfield stuff, and then you got a little
bit of US
Acres.
If I saw them instead of Garfield, I usually change the channel.
Oh.
Yeah, Garfield and Friends, that was like on CBS, right?
Yeah.
When it was played in like the morning.
Yeah.
On Saturday mornings.
I love the theme song of Garfield and Friends because it reminded me of the star from Super Nintendo. It's like dun 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 Garfield and Friends.
I mean, if you think about it, though, like, there was only really, a three-hour block of after-school cartoons, right? But you had, like, what, Fox had theirs, and then...
Well, Fox was the only one that had the after-school block.
Well, they had
WB had one, Animaniacs,
but not everyone had WB.
That was bullshit, man. WB was, like, the best channel back then. People kept on shitting on that, and I don't understand why.
ABC had the Disney hours with Gummy Bears and...
But then that got transferred to UPN or whatever, or Channel 20, at least when I was younger, when you'd be able to watch like Goof Troop and you'd be able to watch
Gargoyles.
During that era.
I liked David the Gnome.
But the thing is that...
That was on Nickelodeon.
Maybe what really like ruined it was Pokemon. Because I remember that's when the big change at least happened for me is when you had Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh! Became like that hour instead of the Batman and Superman. I'm not saying that... you know, maybe Pokemon or Yu-Gi-Oh! Are better, but I've never actually, like, dedicated time to watching that. Like, Danny, do you have, or any Hunter, do you have any experience with that show? Was that something that changed the tide?
No, I never watched Pokemon.
No, I never watched, but I have seen a recent show. I forget what the name of it was, but it was on one of those channels, Boomerang, I think, and it was mildly entertaining.
See, that's another shit channel that has cartoons,
Boomerang.
Right?
Yeah, well, it's actually sad, because stuff on Boomerang, it's, you know, it used to, Boomerang used to be nothing but, like, Hanna-Barbera cartoons. I mean, because Cartoon Network acquired the rights to all of them, and they had Boomerang to be their retro channel, and still is their retro channel. But now the stuff you see showing up on Boomerang, it's one of those sad reminders. It's like Fosters appears on Boomerang every now and then.
What? So Fosters isn't even that old.
So it's the thing. It's not that old in context, but it's old in terms of what used to be on. It's a retro show now compared to everything now.
So it's like the classic rock station syndrome. It's like, holy crap, I used to listen to Nirvana.
Like, oh my god, that guy's on classic rock station now?
You're like, oh, am I getting old, or is it too fast?
Times are moving.
Is it just moving too fast now, or just the...
Foo Fighters are already on the classic rock station.
But they are pretty classic.
That's classic in terms that they will always be around. Maybe that validates them.
Yeah.
See, but this wasn't a classic cartoon. This was like... maybe it wasn't Boomerang, but it was like this kid. He was like a daredevil, and he had a stupid friend, and they were always... Hilarity ensued.
Where's Doug? Is Doug still around?
No.
On the channel? Nickelodeon.
That's one channel I haven't watched in like a long time, is Nickelodeon. I feel like Nickelodeon had a little edgy stuff on it for like cartoon.
Yeah, but now Nickelodeon's got like Yo Gabba Gabba, and that's like their...
Is that where Yo Gabba Gabba's on?
Yeah, it's
a, I always thought that was like on PBS or something like that.
Because when I was working for Cartoon Network, it was always like taboo to use the color orange on any sort of project because that was Nickelodeon's color.
The Nickelodeon orange?
Yeah.
Well, any orange, because orange in general was always associated with Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
Well, that's what's so great about that, if you think about it. They claim that color.
They own it.
You know what I mean? Like,
also a little bit of that green slime mixed with the orange.
And that orange is sort of like a neon orange, too.
Yeah, it's like a fluorescent.
And so is that green slime. That's sort of like the same thing as well.
It's like you got the 64 box of Crayola crayons, and then it came attached with the little 8 fluorescent colors on the side. Yeah. It's like a holster crayons.
They do have Doug on DVD, though. I've checked.
Yeah. So that's... I mean, people can buy that. But does that mean that sort of the Today shows are bad? Because I don't know. I'm trying to think of, because, like, at the same time, you know, I'm still, I used to not like Batman Brave and the Bold, and as everyone knows, I became a massive fan of that, and that was only in the past 2 years. Then after that, like, even with we were listing Batman the Animated Series, there's advancements, but also there's, you sort of tend to like things because of a nostalgia kick, too, as well.
I think it's also perception.
Yeah. Because
a lot of people, I mean, there are a lot of good cartoons still in existence, like, what's it? Adventure Time.
Yeah, I mean that's running wild.
Adventure Time is very popular with like adults. Even,
yeah, I actually think adults like it more than kids do.
But do you think? But Adventure Time hits that sort of like it's a. I mean, it is weird.
The funny thing about Adventure Time is there's behind the whole colorful, fluffy like reality behind the show. There's a really, really dark undertone.
Yeah.
Behind the whole thing, if you read between the lines or just pay attention to the details and the backgrounds. I mean, it's like whenever they refer to the Mushroom War, it's like, oh, it's just mushrooms, it's nothing. It's like, no, they're actually referring to mushroom clouds as in the bombs that ruined the world and made it what it is in this reality.
Yeah. My friend Cooney was trying to describe to me, like, Adventure Time, and I had no idea. He's just like, I love Adventure Time, it's weird, you'd love it. And we watched, like, 20 episodes straight, just for the sake of that's how we roll. But how would you even pitch that show? Because that's what's happening these days, is all these shows have that sort of... There's a weird twist to them now.
I think what's great about shows like Adventure Time, it has wacky characters and goofy character designs and characters made of candy or characters made of fire.
Wait, talking about this show being weird? Come on, let's think about some of the classic shows. Like, how about there's all these little blue midget things that live in a mushroom forest... The guy with a cat whose only dream is to eat them.
I'm not discrediting the Smurfs or by any means. I'm saying that they're essential because...
No, it's weird. I'm just pointing out that these new shows are no weirder than...
You need weird.
Fucking Snorks.
You need weird. You need creative. You need unusual because you need to stimulate imagination. Like, there was a dark era of shows and cartoons where everything was trying to be too realistic and based in reality, and it stifled creativity. It's like kids can't daydream about characters in class or draw in their notebooks of, hey, this could potentially be an Adventure Time character, a chocolate monster boat or something.
I mean, in a sense...
You need stuff to stimulate the imagination and...
And also in a way that was sort of like, you know, that started with almost the Batman the Animated Series, where it was...
Kind of in a
heavy
way,
drama,
yeah.
And it was adults...
Very,
you know,
story-driven.
It's very story-driven. And like just like everything, there's going to be a... There's that cycle. Like, I mean, Huzzard brought it up. You do... The weird parts are coming back. You know what I mean?
I think it's good. I think it's heading in the right direction. But
so that in a way, that that means there's solid good stuff out there.
But
it's
the problem is it's not easily distributed. I mean, let's face it. There are people out there that do not have cable. I mean, it's a pay service.
And which is an amazingly weird thing at the same time. To not have cable,
but
also...
Then there's the internet.
The internet just runs rampant.
Well, I think these things also go in cycles in quality, too. Because you had Looney Tunes back in the 70s. And really, what were the cartoons in the 80s? You had Smurfs. There's sort of a
Looney Tunes is weird. If you think about it, a lot of not Disney. Disney never really got to that weird state. It started out a little weird.
Goofy. Fantasia was like the weirdest thing that Disney probably did.
Yeah.
But it wasn't really that weird. It was just fantasies.
Like, if you think about it, Disney is sort of like Marvel, where they just take their characters and put
alter
them in relations.
Them.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're like, oh,
what if comics?
They're like a hippo that's a ballerina. Like... To me, that was more of fantasy, but it was harmless fantasy.
See, but going back a little bit, is think about like the lowest of the low class. Like, they do not have cable television, so they're limited to what's on network television.
But which is even sad if you think about it, when you sort of try to picture a low class person or people.
I mean, you hear low class, you automatically think homeless, but I'm talking about like, you know, scraping by,
but what's
paycheck
even,
to paycheck. And
I'm always shocked by sometimes... Where even, like, even Caroline and I were, you know, like, we're at a stop sign. We see a homeless person, and they're holding up their paper, you know, their, what's it called, cardboard bag and stuff like that in our cardboard sign.
They've got a cell phone attached to
Yeah, they got a cell phone and some super nice-ass shoes. And we're like, what the hell, man?
I saw somebody like that in Baltimore yesterday, like, just sitting, like, he wasn't even
bench. That was just Huzzard on the floor.
He wasn't even on the bench. He was on the floor.
he had a cell phone strapped to his
pants. So I was like, what the hell is going on here in Baltimore, the greatest city in America?
Greatest city in the world.
I think what's even great about that is when I posted that picture of you the other day, Huzzard, of, you know, that the bench. What did it say exactly?
Greatest city in the world.
Did it say Baltimore
in
on
America.
It?
The greatest city in America.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Far
like,
from it.
So many people responded to that image. You know what I mean? And it's well, that's what I love about just imagery in general. It's just like, even if it is fake, and people don't know it's fake, it can just run wild. You know, people are like, oh, that's exactly what I'm thinking.
Everything, man. But everything is like pre-planned and fake, if you want to call it that.
Yeah.
Well, when I got home, my wife, she said...
Where's your wife?
She's on the... right there.
Can we hear her talk?
Can we hear
talk?
From her actual words?
Does she exist in a radio form?
She's about as real as Manti Te'o's girlfriend in actuality.
In context of radio.
Yeah.
She's in the studio, but she's not mic'd.
I like how you use a Manti Te'o like reference as if, like, you know, Carolyn Joe's... average readership would understand that.
I think that thing has gone so, you know, it was on
it has
freaking
gone
Dr.
National.
Phil, all right?
It has gone national. And even, like, I was like, what the hell is this? I don't really follow football, but
the
apparently
guy's a loser.
There's, like, a football player that has a fake girlfriend, and then she died, and then... I don't know what the hell that means. And also, first of all, it's not even about football.
Really,
like, I don't understand how this thing blew up.
It really
to, like,
is
this national sensation.
It's truthfully the greatest advertisement for MTV's new show Catfish that I've ever seen in my life.
Pretty much.
I told you, Carolyn, take football out of the whole equation. It would never have become a story.
No.
Not even take Notre Dame. Take a good team. If Notre Dame was like 1-10, no one would have given a shit.
I just don't know why it was so mainstream. And also, even on, I was at the gym, it was like constantly being talked about on ESPN, and I'm like, dude, can't you talk about like real sports?
No,
this is
not
like
ESPN.
some guy's like fake girlfriend that never existed. I don't even know what the outcome was, or
who
if
cares?
He lied. And then some people are like, he's trying to cover
who
up that
cares?
He's gay.
He's trying
like,
to cover up he's gay by making a fake girlfriend.
I don't care.
Easy A. Yeah, he should have pretended, said he slept with Emma Stone. That would have been a lot more effective.
Oh,
everybody
gosh.
Likes Emma Stone.
Yeah, but before we got distracted, I got home.
My invisible wife.
Monte Teo is like the ultimate distraction for the whole United
just
States.
Just ruins everything.
I want to hear Laura at least say hi on the mic at least once.
So we at least know she does exist.
Yeah, so everyone knows that you exist. Just for once, Laura,
just
walk
hi.
Up and say hi to the world. Say hello, internet. You
hello.
Suck. There
she
you go.
Here.
She is real.
She exists.
She
that was
is
not
real.
A cell phone.
Yes, that was not me. All right. Yeah. So you went home.
Yeah, and she
went home after the Ring of Honor show in Baltimore.
Yeah, and she'd seen the picture, and she said, "You know, I'm a little disappointed."
Oh, you saw the picture? did you like it on Instagram or on Facebook?
Facebook, I think.
All right, cool.
but she said, "I'm a little disappointed that my husband can pass for a homeless person."
When I saw it a second time, because I didn't actually see it like as we were posting it, but I saw it this morning, and I was like, "Wait a second, he has like a strap for his cell phone, just like blatantly showing."
Yeah, well, that's why he's a real homeless person.
I'm like, that is like real homeless person.
You know, it's funny. It's funny because like, there was a lot of actually prep involved in that image, and that's just seeing, because when we first rolled into Baltimore, we saw those benches on the side.
And we laughed at them.
Yeah, so we're all like trying to, plan it out. And then it's funny because like the first setup had had Huzzard like laying on the actual bench of the chair.
But then it covers up the greatest city in America.
We're like, we can't see this.
And then I'm like, go on the floor.
Just lay on the floor. And like you just lay face first on the floor. And I'm like, when I first looked at it, I was like, it looks like you just sort of flopped down.
Well, that would be appropriate for Baltimore.
Yeah, it just looks like you just got shot and just like went down.
What I was thinking too. I was like, it's either looks like he's got shot or he's just knocked out sleeping.
No one ever
tried to land on the bench.
Well, I was actually holding myself up on my forearm because in front of me was a bunch of used gum, and I didn't want my body to actually be fully laying on that floor, so I'm trying to keep as much of me off the ground as possible.
No one fully responded to say whether that was like a dead person or a homeless person that was really, because to me, in my head, I was like, wow, this is sort of ambiguous of what this could be, because part of me was thinking, oh, it just looks like a guy that's like looking for change underneath a bench, and I just... No one questioned that, like, I shot that photo.
I would have interpreted it as someone trying to get away from the snowfall.
Yeah. No one was like, Joe, why are you photographing homeless people laying dead on the floor and posting it to the world?
Why not? I've done it before. Baltimore, no less.
Did you guys have a good time at the Ring of Honor show?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Did you have any expectations? Because, Hunter, you went before. I forget what month. It was, I guess, January 5th.
Yes.
And now, Danny, you're here. I was like, Danny definitely has to go to one of these live shows, you know?
all I knew is it was like a lot of guys not a lot of people have heard of, so it means a perfect environment to be able to scream and yell and be heard.
Yeah.
So I was like, European uppercut! Do a European uppercut!
But the crowd, it's always interesting to see people with like the wrestling people in the crowd. Did you guys have any like favorites that you saw in there? Because first time, I saw a super hardcore old lady clapping and dancing and cheering for Jay Lethal, like, and then this is something that happened this time.
That always happens at every wrestling.
There's a woman going nuts for Eddie Edwards.
Yeah, the old lady who's cursing at wrestlers in front of her kids.
It's just as fun to watch the actual crowd as it is to watch the wrestlers at wrestling.
And then you
show.
Had Grimace on the other side of the bleachers.
Just old purple, Daniel
purple
Bryan,
Raven fan.
Yeah. Yeah, and then old Daniel Bryan.
He steals
disposable camera.
He steals the cake from me.
It's all about the disposable camera.
I'm gonna describe
old Daniel Bryan
for him.
Imagine Daniel Bryan, like just picture Daniel Bryan, but all the hair. I'm talking about eyebrows, hair, beard, white. It's just white. And probably about the same build as Daniel Bryan, just a wiry looking old guy. He clearly paid the extra money to get the front row seats.
Yeah.
And
it was like $60 seats,
yeah,
or something.
And he's like, you know, when they're like, let's make some noise, everybody. He's on his feet slapping the metal guardrail. But the best part was, it's like every time the wrestlers got close to him, he'd like whip out a camera that you could easily clearly see was one of those green Fujifilm disposable camera boxes. And it's like, you could practically hear the click and the manual, you have to wind with
manual wind, yeah.
Yeah, wind to the next shot. And he was taking so many pictures. And then, like, he vanished one time. I was like, oh, no. Did he die?
It's like, he's gone. He's gone.
He's out by the bench.
Yeah, but
it's
then, like...
best city
and
in
then, and
America.
Then at one point, I went up to try to go to the bathroom, and then I saw the old guy standing out in the snow smoking. I was like, Jesus.
that dude is just like...
Nothing stops
him. Fuck this. Let me smoke. I'm about to die.
He clearly has an understanding of the Ring of Honor roster to know when which matches are the best times to go take a smoke break. Because he's all like, oh, there goes whatever that Roderick Strong's there. I'm gonna go take a smoke break.
And that's what's always surprising about like these indie shows or wrestling shows is that to see these old guys, these old, because even next to us, those are older like moms that are like next to me that are really going crazy for Eddie Edwards. You know what I mean? Like really hardcore. Like they're like in like it was like Teen Bop or something like that. You know?
We're in the
Teen
pink.
Bop. Eddie! It was like constantly. Yeah. I was like, damn, they love their shit, but. I don't know. There's something I like about professional wrestling that legitimately, on from across the way, that you can see an old, like a really old Santa Claus level Daniel, like young, old Daniel Bryan. To my left, you have like these older parents that are super fans. You know what I mean? And then directly to our front are like 8 to 70 year olds going crazy whenever like I yell 619 for some reason.
Recognize that word? Yay!
Yeah. Well, Rey Mysterio is for children now.
You know, for kids.
And then without fail, there's a handicapped guy.
Yeah.
I was like, man, like typically when you think of the handicapped guy at a wrestling show, it's like the guy who's either a midget, a war veteran, or a legitimate amputee, and it's the guy that has to be in a wheelchair. No, this just happened to be some like douche bro, who I guess had broken legs or something, and had to be in a wheelchair because.
But he was getting hugs though, so he must have been like. Like, because when I first walked into the general admission area, people were lifting his chair to go up.
Yeah.
And then once he got up there, people were giving him hugs. So he must be like a celebrity somewhat.
He's like
well-known.
A super fan.
Yeah.
I don't know, but without fail, though, there was a wheelchair guy.
It seems like he was having a good time, though.
Are you kidding? The guys behind me were like, whoa. Look at Mark over there. It looks like he's falling asleep. And sure enough, when I kind of glanced over, and yeah, the wheelchair guy? Yeah, the wheelchair guy.
Oh,
he was
nice.
Like, his head was like leaned up against the railing, and it looked like he was having a shitty time.
He just passed out from drinking too much.
No, very few of those guys were legal, because they were like, we can't go get our beer. They spent like the first taping.
Are you talking about the kids behind us?
Yeah, they were like...
The kids.
They were trying to strategize how they're going to get beer, because they were like, yeah, if he's got... The guy's going to know I have a fake ID. I was like, Jesus, is this what you're like when you're 20? It's like... Your goal in life is to get beer?
Yeah, how meaningless life like, that leads
to. I'm fucking 30, and I'm like, I don't want to drink, because I know I'm going to get
there
sloshed.
Was a line.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
And it costs money. I mean, you could go buy, like, a six-pack for twice as much.
You go to 7-Eleven and get a six-pack of Natty Bow for, like, $3.
Yeah.
That was, I mean, I what I really appreciate is that there's going to be, you know, having shows like that to build, like, an audience and have something to go to. Because, like, it's weird because these days I don't really want to go to a wrestling show, like, a bigger wrestling show if I'm not, like, pretty much in the same seats we were there.
Yeah, you can't drag me to a Raw or a SmackDown taping.
Well, those seats are probably, like, what, they were $200 for Starcade back when, you know.
Yeah, $200 for floor seats.
I mean, no, were we on the floor? We were right on the edge of the floor for those $200.
Yeah.
But that was in 98 or something.
Yeah.
And now we're in 2012.
Now $200 will get you, like, barely mid-floor.
Yeah, we'd probably be in the rafters for $60. I don't want to be in the rafters for $60. I'd rather just watch on TV.
Exactly.
I am pretty much, that's the way I feel at this point, because you get... I mean, really, at the end of the day is when you're in the crowd at a bigger show like that, you don't really...
Elbow to elbow with a bunch of...
Yeah, it's
scum of the earth.
I feel like at this point, being in a crowd is such a guess at this point. You know, you don't know if it's going to be good, it's going to be bad, you're going to be sitting next to someone that's an asshole. And some people will go like, well, that's the fun about it, too. And it's also like, well, if you get like the wrong... If you get someone that's taller than you in front of you, that ruins the whole freaking show.
You could have someone... going into diabetic shock behind you.
That's exactly what happened. I don't even know if we talked about that on the show. Hazard or someone explain.
Well,
because wait, you were all right. So this is the first time we went to the Ring of Honor show. All right, I was seated. What?
You were seated next, behind me.
Behind you, and Carolyn was to my left.
Carolyn was next to the guy, and then I was in the front. Now I've been to.
So he's basically to your back,
right?
And he's to Carolyn's left,
right? So I've been to concerts before where people have passed out drunk and stuff and that sort of thing. So all of a sudden, there's this head. It starts hitting me. I start sort of elbowing it back.
That's the first thing you do.
And then, like, it just hits me again. I nudge it back. Like, don't want your damn head on me. And then, like, then I just move over to the side, and the head just drops next to me. I'm like, what the fuck's going on? And so then...
What was your perspective on this, Carolyn, too? Because
that guy almost, like, leaned into you.
Because what's amazing about this...
Yeah, he was, like, putting his head on my knee.
But see, what's amazing about this is I was... Because while everyone was out before, when we were getting those seats, I was talking to this guy... Like like perfectly normal. Fine, like a normal human being, right? And he was like, "Yeah, I traveled like 3 hours or not." But I was like, "No, not that." I was like, he said something about like he's been waiting all day or something like that. He was here at like 1 o'clock and he was trying to get in, but they wouldn't let him in yet.
Maybe that's why he passed out.
And
he couldn't stand.
But he was like absolutely like he was normal, right? And then like there was like, something happened before the start of the show. Right?
Well, before the start of the show, I went to go check out the merch. I was like, oh, I'll check out the merch. And then, like, I said something about, like, saving my seat. So then I just put, like, I was like, oh, I'll just put my coat in, like, to save the seat. And so I put my coat down in my area so that it would save my seat.
Yeah.
And then he said something like, oh, don't worry, I'm not going to take it. I'll save your seat. And then, like, I went off to go check out the merchandise. So he actually did have some interaction that was, like, relatively normal.
Yeah.
But then, like, once the show started, his head just kind of went down. And at first I was like, wait, what's going on with this guy? Is he just like super depressed?
One of the first things you did to symbol me was you're like, oh, Joe, I think he's sleeping, right? Because like his head was down as if he was sleeping. I was like, how is he sleeping?
I'm like, how can he sleep during the
intro? We were doing the intro, you know, like how the five times
they're like, everybody stand up and, you know, we're about to record this TV taping. And they're like, we want you to like all be pumped and like, woo.
And just to visualize how he was in audience at home, if you can imagine, what was that statue? Like the thinker?
The thinker.
Like he was literally like that with his hand was on his chin. And it was just...
That's how it started out.
Yeah. And then, like, that's how it was. And we were all just like, all right, he just missed his opportunity to be on TV, so to speak.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, well, I guess maybe he doesn't want to be on TV or something. I don't know. Or I was like, wait, did his girlfriend just break up with him or something? Like, I was trying to think of, like, possible scenarios.
He doesn't have a girlfriend.
I don't know. I was trying to think of possible scenarios why he's so depressed looking. And then, like, throughout, you know, the first couple matches... He's like that, and then all of a sudden his head just like went straight down to like my knee.
It was weird because he was still sitting in that position, but it's just like someone extremely slumping over, like really, really like he's trying to give himself a blowjob or something like that. That's how low it was. I was just like, I was like, what the hell, man? Enjoy the show.
Some people really love wrestling.
But then, from what I started to notice is that something different started happening. He started going. Instead of like leaning down like in the self blowjob position, all of a sudden he became really entranced with the skin on his fingers.
Yeah, he was peeling his cuticle
or something.
Yeah, like
The first thing in my head, I was like, is this guy like on like I don't
drugs?
Know like some sort of drugs that now he's trying to see inside of his skin and dig deep and try to find the meaning of life and stuff like that? Because he was because I could see his face. And it was one of those faces where it's like he's trying to look at his hands, but he really needed a magnifying glass. Yeah.
He's kind of close.
He's like, oh, I can't see it.
You know if you have like a splinter in your thumb or something and you're like, where is it? And you have to like look super close. That's what he was doing.
Yeah. And
he had his thumb like an inch or two from his eye.
And there's a certain point in the show where you just sort of just want to let people do their thing and you just start ignoring it, right? And then, like, sooner or later, he starts leaning closer, and then he starts having this... Now his motions are now, like, in a full circular rotation. And then he's, like, sticking his legs out straighter. You know what I mean? Like, he's trying to, like, stretch, but he's still in that crunched-in position.
Because I didn't notice until his head started hitting me, you know?
You don't want anyone hitting you from the back. Anytime someone tries to hit you from behind in any show, that's calls for an elbow. You know what I mean?
But then, like, then after he was really like bad when he was like almost like falling over, the woman next to me was like, "Hey, wait a second, maybe this guy actually, you know, maybe someone should get
let's do something
paramedic,
about this.
Referees, EMTs."
But what happened before? What happened too is also the people that was sitting to his left, they're like, "Fuck this," and they left.
Yeah.
And then what also starts happening is like what I started realizing is everyone in that area starts leaving. And you know what I mean? And then we're still sort of stuck with them. And then someone else, like a new person, sat next. Well, I think at this point, Carolyn left and said, was like, I'm moving back here. Fuck this. Because he's like leaning on her. And I was like, that's fine. Because now there's this space.
Yeah.
Now there's legitimately, if you were to look at like this shot from like a wide angle, from far shot. It's basically now just
like one guy
and then there's a circle of people, of no people around him. and he's just doing, it looks like he's doing some sort of fucking performance art. Like, shit.
He's like, I'm just, I gotta, like, do something with myself.
So then what happened after that is, so then a new couple comes in, because of course, if you see an opening at a perfectly good shot to sit, you're gonna sit there. And then, you know, another guy, I guess he might have been Southern, he had an accent, he was like, and then he notices the dude doing his whatever spasm.
Right, and like, he also knows that the guy had a insulin drip on him.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because,
oh,
like,
I didn't even know that.
The dude was like, you all right, buddy? Like, the dude next was like, you all right? And then I could see that the dude tried to say something to him. Like, he's not, like, he's, but he was mumbling this shit. Like,
yeah. But he was just like, yeah.
It almost felt like if I were to put myself in that dude's POV, it was like, imagine just being in a dream.
Yeah.
And, like, you're trying to say something and nothing's happening, but everything's moving fast, but you're just super slow.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's funny because, like, once the security came up, because now a lot of other people were noticing this, the security came up and you saw these buff dudes, like, four buff dudes come up. No, the first thing that happened was this. They got the security, they came back, and then the older lady went out to get the security. She came back, and she's like, they can't come right now because there's something else happening on the other side. Yeah. So I was like, fuck, we gotta wait till they clear off someone else? I was like, what the hell is going on with tonight where there's multiple people getting injured?
Let's face it, a lot of wrestling fans are in really bad shape. I mean look
what we saw, yeah.
Yeah, Grimace.
Grimace? That dude had to have been, like, 500 pounds.
Yeah, I was surprised, like, that he even got up.
And watching him try to get down the stairs after the show ended, it's, I was like, oh, sad. My God, he's going to, like, fall and put a crater in Baltimore.
That's really the first thing that went into my mind, was like, fuck, this is Baltimore? Is this what happens in Baltimore?
But also, I thought it was interesting when they carried that guy away. Security came and carried that guy
away.
Like
a baby.
And then, yeah, they carried him like a baby because they're like, oh, do you need help? And he was like, eh, you couldn't even talk. And then they were like, come on, come with me, buddy. And then they just, like, lifted him up and carried him like a baby. And then...
I was like, this is our first Ring of Honor
then the whole,
live taping.
The whole crowd is like, na 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 na, na 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 na.
It's pathetic.
Hey, yeah. Good.
Save that for the performers. Ever some guy who might die.
Well, I mean, from, like, the outside's perspective, if you weren't, like, right there, you probably thought he was, like, just some degenerate drunk.
Yeah.
I mean, that always has a potential
happening.
There's
two sides to every story.
Yeah. Yeah, but last night we had interesting people behind us, too.
See, I didn't hear any of their discussion, and I wasn't concerned.
I told you,
with
their goal in life was to get beer, but they were all clearly
But I was not concerned with anybody behind.
There's one thing I noticed was also, like, for one thing, they were throwing cupcakes in the ring. And another thing, yeah, they made an announcement about that. They're like, we're okay with you throwing streamers and toilet paper, which there was a lot of freaking toilet paper throwing. There was a lot, man.
There's probably none in the men's room.
There was some toilet paper throwing last show, like the January one. But man, they were people getting nailed with that toilet paper.
Hey,
like,
you tell Baltimore people they can throw stuff. They can throw stuff.
That's true. But there's one thing that always gets to me is just like. When because like the people sitting behind us, I mean, of course, like I guess they're like, I don't know, how old do you think they were, Danny?
They were all like 20 or 19.
But also, I feel like they were trying to act, or at least because there was a girl, like the girlfriend or the lackey girl, whatever it was. She was like, I'm bored or something like that.
This is so dumb.
And then I felt like the guys had to succumb to the girls.
No, and then her boyfriend was all like, yeah, it's just fun to watch the like athleticism and trying to, you know, predict. But it's really dumb, but yeah. I like it anyways.
I mean, he made it sound so gay.
I was like, yeah.
It's like, saying it just like that. He couldn't even man up to him actually liking wrestling. He spent $20 to sit
there.
Yeah,
exactly.
With his friends. They all came in like a pack, right?
Yeah, and his friends were enjoying the show. They were yelling European uppercuts with me, too.
Yeah, like they understood.
Yeah, they got it.
But I feel like it's...
The dude with his girlfriend, yeah. That guy totally pussed out.
That's a heartbreaker, but it's also like that's...
A waste of money and time.
And it's just lame. It's just like, well, if you knew she's not going to like it, just don't take her there. Or I don't know. It's a tough situation because now it's almost like he has to explain his actions.
Yeah, pretty much.
I don't get, you know, like people always make a big deal about wrestling being, you know, scripted and stuff.
Who cares?
I mean, a lot of things are scripted.
Fun.
Everything is scripted.
Reality show is scripted,
dude.
Too.
Corporations are scripted. Everything is scripted. That's why it's so lame when people
just
are
sit back
always
and
like,
enjoy the show.
Yeah, it's like, why do they really have to be killing each other?
I mean,
that should be wondering that first. It's
if
like,
anything at all, that girl should have been silent and been like, oh my god, look at the abs on that guy, and made that guy feel insecure.
That's what I was wondering. I was like, there's definitely things specific. specifically in this day and age, there's definitely something for women there. You know, yeah. There's not. It's not like we're in the early 90s where like wrestlers are like
fashion book.
Like super fat. They're like all super fat back then. Now they're all ripped. They have to be in healthy shape or else like society is going to get down on them. Like that's why you're all dying. Because they're all fat.
What's the name
falling.
Of the guy that I liked?
Which one? Chris Angel?
Yeah. No, that's the one that I thought was funny because his name's Jimmy.
Jimmy Jacobs? Yeah.
Jimmy Jacobs. And I was like, yeah, I'm really excited about this. Even before we got there, I was like, I need to see Jimmy Jacobs. And then it's funny because like Danny, who isn't, he didn't go to the first one, so he's not as familiar with all the wrestlers. But then it's hilarious because I was like, yeah, it's Jimmy Jacobs. So I like stood up and like did my fist pump. And then like Danny was like, I hear from the back behind my ear, he's just like, it's Chris Angel! And I was like, yes! Like it was like a perfect diagnosis for like my favorite Ring of Honor guy. dialysis.
So we watched, let's see, when we got there to the what's it called table? The merch table. They had the Nigel McGuinness, his DVD, and I actually watched that as soon as I got home.
Yeah,
we watched that whole thing, man.
We watched it until 4 a.m. because we got home from Ring of Honor like a little bit before 1 a.m.
And it's a
long show. Well, also, I just want to add the Ring of Honor shows are like 4-hour taping, right? It's four shows.
If you think about it, because what time the show start? Show
seven.
Start 7?
Yeah.
Because usually when you go to like a Raw taping or something like that, you get there around 7 or the show pre-show start at 7:30, right?
It's usually like one or two dark matches.
Yeah, one or two dark matches or superstars or whatever you put that, and then the show would basically you'd be done like if it was Raw you'd be done a little bit before 11 o'clock.
Well, you're done at 11.
Or wait, yeah. No, you're past 11 now.
No, because I think there's a 5-minute lag that it has with the to you know.
Say it, Hazard. What the hell? What are you saying?
Delay, so that they can, you know, if something goes wrong on network TV, you know.
No, but still, it's sort of like because now that Raw is a 3-hour show, it's like all the way to 7:30. Or maybe they just start at 7:30 now past 11.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much equivalent to what we watched, right?
Yes. But we got to see more matches than a Raw has.
Yeah, we actually get to see
a lot more
matches.
No backstage segments.
Yeah.
I mean, 20-minute promos.
That 6-man tag was worth $20 alone.
Yeah. Right? Any tag is worth $20 alone. That's where the money lies, man. You don't get to see any real tag matches.
Well, not
in
the
WWE.
Tag match. It lasted like 5 minutes and Rhino came and gored everyone.
No, but we were excited about that.
That was pretty awesome, too.
We were pumped about that. No one was expecting to see that. It was cool. Whenever we'd yell out gore, like Rhino would look towards us.
I don't think Rhino expected to have fans.
Yeah.
Because he's a heel.
He had a lot of fans.
We just wanted him to do one move, and that's it. I don't even know if he really does anything else. He just punches and kicks. I've never seen him do a suplex at all. What was I talking about?
Gores.
You're talking about the Nigel McGuinness DVD.
Oh, yeah. The Nigel McGuinness DVD was awesome. It was pretty... At the same time, it was heartbreaking because it does go through... And he does reveal, like, the reasons why he... Why, basically, he didn't go to... He didn't make it to the WWE and what happened with TNA. And like, it follows, like, his last wrestling tour of him actually wrestling. And, you know, in the beginning of the DVD, you do see, like, his history of how great he was. He was proclaimed, like, one of the best wrestlers... Of that era, of that time, him and Daniel Bryan, 1 and 2, always would be. And it's always, you know, it's heartbreaker to see where his career went and where Daniel Bryan goes and his direction. Because you'd think, like, a great wrestler like him, his farewell tour, he'd be, like, in packed houses and people would be, like, all over him. But it's not that it wasn't the case, man. Some shows he couldn't even get on because, like, they wouldn't be able to pay for him. So it's, like, part of his tour is just sitting behind the table. And stuff like that. And that's also something that we saw there is like when we first got in, you're like, next to the merch table, you have what? You had Matt Hardy,
Shelton Benjamin,
Charlie Haas, and Rhino. And there was really no one there to see them. You know what I mean? And I feel like that's what's tough, man.
But it's also hard to like walk up, even if you do just want to say hi and you're not expecting like an autograph and a picture or something. Like, because then you always expect that. They want like you to pay $20 or $40 to say hi to them.
I mean,
you know, and
that's
like
that's you know, of course that's how they make their living too.
I understand that, but it's also like, I mean, I don't know. It puts up this border that's like you don't want to go over there, and I don't know. It's very awkward. Like unless you really have something to say, maybe it's just that I didn't have anything to say to them.
Like, I mean, what are we gonna say to Matt Hardy?
I don't know.
No, I wouldn't say anything about her.
I mean,
you'd
like,
be like, you could have a shake for breakfast, a shake for lunch, and a sensible dinner.
That's vicious. That is pretty vicious.
I mean, I don't know what I would even say, but it would be nice if I could just be like, hey, what's up? I watch you on TV. You know, yeah. Like, but I don't really know, like, what actual conversation I can have with them. Like, maybe I would go up to them if I could figure out a way to, like, have a conversation. But I never really thought about it.
And that's usually the tough situation with any sort of, like, I guess, celebrity or performer that I guess would be someone you admire or someone that's something. It's like, what am I going to say? Beyond, I'm a fan.
How much does it suck to be Charlie Haas?
I mean, that's the question he thinks about all the time, isn't it?
Because, like, Benjamin actually had success, and, you know, Rhino had success, and Matt Hardy, a lot of people know who he is.
And then Charlie Haas
everyone knows him as the Marty Jannetty of the team.
or the person who knocked down Lumen Garcia.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like him, I don't have anything to really say to him.
No, but exactly. But that's what was so powerful about Nigel McGuinness, his DVD, is that, like, because he stopped wrestling for, like, 15 months, and then you're able to see firsthand, like, how fast of a drop that happens from being, like, pretty much, like, the indie superstar, you know what I mean? And you see him wrestling, like, the Tyler Blacks and having these awesome matches, and then you see him, like, no one even wants to go to his table and ask for an autograph. They're like, are you in WWE? And they're like, no.
It's like the wrestler all over again.
That's pretty much what it was.
That's what it reminded me of. I mean, I don't know. Because I think it's just awkward. Maybe they need to come up with a better system to, like, meet those people instead of just having, like, a money guy in the beginning of the line.
Well, TNA did have a good deal where you have that early meet and greet, so you have you can hang out at the ring. You know, I don't know if they still do that, but they made it sort of a little special, you know?
Well, maybe it's like memorabilia driving. I mean, think about, you know, who buys wrestlers' signatures?
I don't really do anything with signatures.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't care about signatures. I'd rather get pictures of like people. It's like, hey, I met this person.
Exactly.
Yeah, but you know, like if you think about the memorabilia industry, if you get like a baseball autograph by somebody, you can sell that.
Yeah.
But if you get, you know, a wrestler's signature,
nobody cares. Like my U.S. title, unless signed by, like, both Hacksaw and Chris Benoit.
Nobody. Oh, you have a Chris Benoit signature?
Yeah.
Damn.
Before he killed everyone.
And himself.
As opposed to after.
He touched me. Yeah. He touched that, man.
Yeah.
That name that cannot be spoken of.
It could just be Al Snow signed it.
Yeah.
Well, I've
you have a murderer's signature.
I do. And I have, like, photographic proof of him signing it.
Did you have the did you have anything signed by Maven?
Why would I want anything signed by Maven?
I meant Maven.
That sucks.
I remember hearing a story about, like, how this one guy had, like, this one of his replica belts, like, it was like it doesn't matter, but he had all of his favorite champions sign it. But then, like, since, you know, sometimes when you're in a signing situation, it just goes down the line. And then, like, he has all of his greats. He has, like, you know, Cactus Jack. He has all these people who really admires.
He skips
and
Maven.
No. Since it gets handed down, it got to Maven and he signed it. And Maven signed the belt. And now he's like, fuck, man.
No, that's when
all these great guys.
Scrub that shit off.
But that pissed me off.
It's not dry yet. Quick. Let's go to the bathroom and get some paper towels.
Then imagine being Maven, where it's like my name got erased.
Yeah, you know, the funny thing is, like, my ECW world title was signed by Raven before I even got it.
Did you say Raven or Maven?
Raven.
All right. So we're not talking about Maven.
No.
All right. Well, I was like, Raven's fine.
And then I got Mick Foley to sign it. So
I was in one of those autograph lines one time before. I actually told someone not to sign something.
Really?
Who?
Yeah. Jason Bergman. He was a
shitty baseball player.
Yeah.
What was he signing?
He was just signing like
those 8x10s or whatever.
It was a hat that I had that a free giveaway hat.
Did he have it in his hand?
Yeah.
And
I'm like, don't sign it.
It's not for you.
Oh my gosh. He probably remembers you.
Yeah, he'll remember you for the rest of your life, man. Or for the rest
of
his life.
Be like that one guy.
Well, if I ever see him at McDonald's, I'll don't say sorry to him.
You ask him to sign a baseball. I was like, you ask everyone to sign in the sweet spot, and then you get to him and you're like, no, sign over here.
The baseball players won't actually sign on the
sweet spot unless you ask them to.
Yeah.
It's reserved for the manager.
That's nice.
Yeah, that's the unwritten rule.
Actually, some pitchers don't want to sign the sweet spot while they're active players.
Lame.
Because that's where if the bat hits the sweet spot, that's where the ball's going a long way.
I thought the sweet spot was just the best place to autograph a ball.
No, it's actually like it's actually the sweet spot of the ball.
Whatever. I don't care that much. I don't really care about like autographs in general anymore. I'm like, I'd rather get pictures taken with these people.
Yeah, it's really a.
It's like photographic proof. I met this person.
Because at the end of the day, too, I guess because we've all been through comics and stuff like that. It's almost like sometimes it doesn't count without the certificate of authenticity, yeah. Too. So it's sort of like, well, no one's going to believe anything.
Well, it's like, you know, I met Hulk Hogan, and I got a picture with Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
So I'm like, this is better than any signature ever.
And it's more personable, too. Exactly. It's not like you're just going to go sell it.
Exactly. I mean, this is one of those chance encounters, too. It was totally unexpected. Just happened to be at the same place with Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
I was like, I got to meet Hulk Hogan.
Exactly. Well, I want to thank you guys for being on the show, man. It's been, it's always fun having you guys. And
it's always a pleasure. Always enjoy it.
It's too bad we couldn't, mash up a fast food sandwich.
It's always like that. It's still, yeah, it's a new year.
There's no food involved with this one.
This is the first time you've been on since 2013.
True.
Even though I think you were on at like the last one of 2013.
Was it?
I don't know.
Did we ever actually record the drink challenge of 7-Up versus Sprite?
We did. That was one of the very first ones we did.
We
did
without
James.
It?
That was with James.
Okay.
It was a good time. Do you guys have anything to plug before we head out?
Not really.
I have something to plug. If you happen to be a Washington Nationals baseball fan, on that off chance that you are also listening to this show, the Citizens of Natstown, which is a blog I write for, we have a season preview magazine coming out February 12th. So go ahead and check the website.
So that's like next week then, right?
Dyke, yeah.
Dyke. Dyke.com.
Dyke.com.
CitizensofNatstown.com for details on that. You can buy it on the Apple iTunes Store and Kindle Bookstore.
I write a lot and I blog.
Are we allowed to plug those?
And Carolyn and Joe, they link to me on their website, so there.
Go to CarolynandJoeShow.com.
Yeah, there you go.
Everyone, go check out the show is produced by Astray Productions, astrayproductions.com. Also go to goastray.tumblr.com. And Carolyn, what do you have?
I have a webcomic called Curls. It's every Monday and Thursday. It's at www.curls-studio.com.
That's right. Well, thanks everyone for checking out the show. Hope you enjoyed. Tune in next week. I don't know what we're going to do next week. Hopefully it's going to be just as insane. But again, thanks Danny and Huzzard for joining us.
Always a pleasure.
And I'll catch you later, Carolyn.
Adios, everybody.
Bye.
Thanks for listening.